Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle, and we've got another week of baseball to break down for you. A lot of stuff going on around Major League Baseball as we get deeper into the regular season. We're about 2 weeks into the season now. A lot of stuff has been happening across Major League Baseball, on and off-field stories. We're going to dive into all of it today. There's a lot going on. Frankly, a lot of it is the off-the-field stuff. It's going to be interesting to talk about as we get into today's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pumped for it. Like I said all along, the Ohtani stuff would get cleared because federal investigators are, doing it, And so
It's a legit investigation. Yeah, it's a legitimate investigation. It's not just MLB. Not just MLB investigating it, trying to cover up for their biggest star and their biggest team. It's a legitimate federal investigation. The FBI is involved. The IRS is involved. So the big news that happened this week is the federal authorities came out and they have accused Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, Ipe Muzuhara, of stealing more than $16 million from Ohtani to pay off his gambling debts to an illegal sports book. Or the original reports right before the season were $4.5 million. Now we're seeing up to $16 million. The U.S. attorney came out and said this week that Shohei Ohtani is considered a victim in this case. It's a case of fraud and theft. There's no evidence that Ohtani had any knowledge of Mizuhara's gambling debts or his use of Ohtani's money to pay those debts. And Mizuhara is expected to appear in court tomorrow for an arraignment. So, a lot of big developments in this case. There have been all kinds of conspiracy theories flying around since this all started during the Korea series a couple of weeks ago. People thinking that it was really Ohtani who had all the gambling debts and that his translator was just taking the fall for him. Now the FBI has concluded that this guy was stealing from Ohtani. It seems like it's going to be a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's clear that Ohtani was a victim in this. It's clear that, Mizuhara did something wrong. And for people out there still saying it's fishy and he's taking the fall for this, I'm like, no, that's not how the federal government, this is not how this works. If this was Ohtani, it would have been found out. And there was a report in there, he pretended to be Ohtani to make a bank account. And essentially that's how it kind of got started. And the bookie, he basically admitted it to the bookie, and the bookie told the federal investigators. And yeah, so I'm glad Ohtani's cleared of any wrongdoing. It still sucks that he got taken advantage like this. And unfortunately, that's going to be this story.
Yeah, so the FBI has done a really, really thorough investigation in this. They've got, text records, phone records, all kinds of stuff. Like you said, there are records of Mizuhara calling the bank, pretending to be Shohei Ohtani to trick them into authorizing the transfers. There's text records of him texting this bookie saying, quote, "I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? LOL, any chance you can bump me again? As you don't have to worry about me not paying." So it seems very clear that, he was taking this money from Ohtani. The bookmaker knew that he had access to Ohtani's money and was able to cover his debts, and it just got found out. And it's a sad situation, honestly, for everyone involved. Obviously, Ohtani getting taken advantage of, like you said, losing $16 million. But for Ipe Mizuhara to, have this kind of issue where if you're in debt $16 million to a bookmaker, you clearly have some kind of issue. So it's a sad situation all around. He could face up to 30 years in prison for this. Obviously, $16 million is a lot of money. So we're going to have to see where this goes once it gets into court and a trial and everything. But it is a sad situation because I think that especially as gambling becomes legal in more and more states, we see it become more widespread. I mean, you can't watch any kind of sporting event without a mention of gambling these days. And I think that we're just going to see more cases of maybe not necessarily something on this scale, but gambling addiction just increasing throughout the country. So it's a sad situation for obviously Shohei Ohtani, who is the victim, but also you got to feel a little bit for Mizuhara if he was that addicted to gambling where he has to steal $16 million from his coworker and friend.
Yeah, it's tragic all around at the end of the day. It just, it really does suck. It really does.
But that's all the updates that we have as of right now. So it should kind of shut things down, people thinking that Ohtani was in on it or that he was letting his translator take the fall for it. Hopefully we can move on from this. Obviously, it's still going to play out in the justice system, but hopefully Major League Baseball can move on from this and focus on some other issues that we have, because that's pretty much all we're going to talk about today. We do have a little bit of good news later in the episode, but other big issues, at least this one is on the field. Pitchers can't stay healthy. And I'm very upset about this right now because one of them is on my team, my favorite team, and one of our best pitchers, Spencer Strider.
And the best pitcher in baseball.
And the best pitcher in baseball, Garrett Cole, who started the season injured.
I was about to say, if you said Spencer Strider, I would have.
No, I know. Garrett Cole started the season injured. So far this year, I'm sure there have been more that I missed, but three big ones over just the past week: Yuri Perez of the Miami Marlins, Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Guardians. They are both officially out for the season, needing Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider underwent an MRI last week. It revealed damage to his UCL. Right now, they're saying it's a strain. They haven't released any kind of prognosis on him, but it seems likely that he's going to need Tommy John surgery, and he'll be out for the season as well. So that's three big-name pitchers, including Spencer Strider, who was the favorite to win the National League Cy Young this year, all out for the season with Tommy John surgery. Then you got Garrett Cole, like you mentioned, who started the season injured. You got Justin Verlander, still working his way back from injury. All kinds of big-name pitchers are not pitching right now because they're injured, and everybody has an opinion on what is causing these injuries this season, because it really is a big problem. I mean, just from seeing the reports, it looks like there are more injuries now than we've had at any point in recent memory that I can think of. Just from all the reports that we've seen and all the big names that we've seen get injured, you got the MLB Players Association coming in from one side saying that it's because MLB shortened the pitch clock, or just because of the pitch clock in general, because that's only a new thing since last season. You got Major League Baseball coming in saying, hey, it's not the pitch clock. We have concrete evidence that the pitch clock is not contributing to these injuries. You got people saying that it's just increased velocity. You got people saying that it's MLB's crackdown on sticky stuff a couple of years ago. All kinds of things. But whatever it is, we got to figure something out, because you can't have your biggest name pitchers not be on the field if you want to have, you know, competitive baseball, if you want to have marketable baseball, if you want fans to stay involved and engaged throughout the whole season. You can't have the big name pitchers not be pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see injuries every year. It just seems like a lot of notables are getting hurt right now. And I think it's a culture of, a big factor is the culture of every pitch needs to be as hard as possible. And that's what happens to elbows. Like, elbows can't handle, 60 plus pitches with, fastball, fastball, fastball over and over and over. It's just kind of, throwing as hard as possible each time. So probably a mix of everything, but yeah, it's just some bad luck ultimately as well.
It is very bad luck, of course. But yeah, you got so many sides coming in here blaming so many different things. Like I said, the Players Association said that it's because MLB shortened the pitch clock and that they need to go back from that. MLB released their own statement. They said that it's due to a longer-term trend of increasing velocity and spin rates. They actually cited a study from Johns Hopkins University last year that showed no correlation between pitchers working quicker and more injuries. Then you got Justin Verlander, who is currently on a rehab stint in the minor leagues, and people were interviewing him, asking him his thoughts on this, and you should go listen to this interview if you haven't. Go watch it. Go listen to it. It's a great interview. He says that the biggest thing is the style of game has changed so much. Everybody's throwing the ball as hard as they can and spinning it as hard as they can, which is what you just mentioned. So I think that is definitely a big part of it. I think the pitch clock can be part of why we're seeing so many more injuries. But I think the biggest thing is what we were saying, that players are trying to throw the ball as hard as they can. And that's a relatively new thing. You know, there have always been guys that throw the ball fast and throw the ball hard, but that hasn't been the main focus for pitchers for too long. That's a relatively new thing in baseball. So I think that that is probably one of, if not the biggest contributors. Verlander also said something really interesting. You know, a couple years ago when everyone was talking about the balls being juiced, when there was a lot more offense, a lot more home runs, Verlander says the pitching mindset changed at that point, and you couldn't really look for weak contact at that point because everybody who was hitting the ball was hitting a home run. So you had to change up your mindset as a pitcher. Instead of just trying to get ground ball outs, you had to try to make batters miss. So you're changing the way you're throwing. You're trying to throw faster, trying to get more spin to make batters miss. So it's a whole lot of factors, but I really do think that the speed, the velocity is probably the biggest thing. And I don't know that that can change, because that's just what pitchers are brought up to do these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard, I think it was Adam Wainwright saying, like, you know, they're having kids at 12 throw as hard as they could, and that's just not good enough. Your elbow is not fully developed yet. So it's a mixture of both, but I think the culture of throwing as hard as you can is probably the number one cause.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about how deep that goes. It's insane the way players, you know, young players, 12-year-olds, are throwing as hard as they can. We could do a whole episode about youth sports and the way that that has changed over the years, because I saw a tweet a couple of days ago saying that the Braves' big three, you know, their pitchers from the 90s, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, and Greg Maddux, they wouldn't make the league these days because two of them were multi-sport players. You know, they played multiple sports throughout the year. They didn't specialize in baseball. And two of them also weren't real hard throwers. So, I mean, sports have changed so much. Like, when I was a kid, I played multiple sports throughout the year. I didn't focus on any one sport because that's what we were told to do. You said, you know, play a different sport each season. You work different things. You get different skills, and it can help you grow in all of them. But now, I mean, you got guys out here playing baseball year-round, travel ball all through the winter, and it's just an insane level of commitment you have to have in youth sports. But that's a whole nother episode that we could do if we ever wanted to have that discussion. We could go on for a long time about that. Another interesting take on this injury pandemic, as Justin Verlander called it, an injury pandemic. I think epidemic would be more of a correct word, but I'm not a scientist. Tyler Glasnow, who dealt with Tommy John surgery in 2021, he says, and he said this at the time, that his injury then was due to MLB's crackdown on sticky stuff. And if you remember back in 2021, that's when MLB decided to start cracking down on it, having pitchers get checked as they came off the mound and all that stuff. Tyler Glasnow said that he used a little bit of sunscreen sometimes to help him get a better grip on the ball. He said he never used spider tack or anything like that, just a little bit of sunscreen, some dirt probably. And he said that when he had to stop using anything to help him get a better grip, he changed his fastball and his curveball grips on the ball, causing him to push the ball down further into his hand and place more strain on his forearm and his elbow. So I think that's definitely, I mean, you got one of the best pitchers in the league coming out here and saying, hey, this is what made me get injured. So I think that's definitely a viable option. Like, it obviously, you don't want players cheating. You don't want players playing unfairly. But if they're doing something, if they've been doing something their whole career, and then all of a sudden you take that away, that's going to lead to injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, injuries happen in baseball. And it's just, like I said, I think we both agree here, it's a combination of everything these past couple of years. I think the pitch clock a little bit has to do with it, just because it's new. It's, you know, it is speeding up the process. But yeah, spider tack or sticky stuff. Yeah, I mean, when you have better grip, it probably helps the flow of things. So I could see that being the case.
It could be. Okay. I think all
who knows?
Of these
we're
things
not doctors. I mean, come on.
No,
let's
we're
be
not.
Real here.
We're not. We're not going to be able to come up with the definitive answer of what's causing
these. We both
these
have
things.
Journalism degrees. Let's, you know, come on.
So we're just relaying the facts and the information as we see it. We're not making any diagnoses or decisions, but it's definitely bad for the game. I mean, Obviously, as a Braves fan, I'm really sad to see Spencer Strider go down, and I hope that it's not worst case scenario, and he's able to return at some point this season. But I don't think that's going to happen. Gerrit Cole is going to return some point this season, most likely. But you know,
Hopefully.
Shane Bieber, Yuri Perez, Spencer Strider, big name pitchers, Cy Young candidates, former Cy Young winner in Shane Bieber, and they're out for the season. And especially for a team like the Marlins, who are not so good to start this season, Yuri Perez could have been a highlight for them. He could have been like the one good thing going for them. A team like the Guardians, who could win their division, losing your ace, that's a big setback. So it's really disappointing for these teams.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, you hope Strider comes back. It's not looking great, but yeah. I mean, the Marlins have not been great to start out, and they're without their two best pitchers. Like, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about some good news, though. We have had some good news
yes.
so far.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah. This is down in the dumps.
But we're gonna get our spirits up here a little bit. Good news: the number one prospect in Major League Baseball has made his debut. Jackson Holliday
Woo!
Got called up by the Baltimore Orioles this week. He made his debut on Wednesday in Boston. Not the best debut by him, but he did turn a double play on defense, and he did drive in a run. It was a RBI ground out, but he drove in a run. But 0 for 4 at the plate with that RBI ground out, but a 7-5 comeback win for Baltimore against the Red Sox. So he gets a win in his first MLB game. Obviously, a lot of hype surrounding this guy. I don't remember this much hype around a prospect coming up since probably Vlad Jr. That's probably the last time we've had, you know, this much excitement about a guy coming up and making his debut. I think there was more excitement around Vlad Jr. than there was about around Jackson Holliday, but it's close.
Was Juan Soto after Vlad Jr.?
No, he was before.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Vlad Jr.
Because
yeah.
Acuna and Soto came up in the same year, and then I think Vlad Jr. was like a year or two after them.
I'm trying to think. What about your boy? Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty big deal.
I mean,
Vlad came up in 2019, so a year
I would
after
argue
Acuna
Adley
and Soto.
A little bit. I mean, Adley had a lot of hype around him when he got
yeah.
called up.
Yeah, he did. He was like the first one for the
or
Orioles.
Gunnar
You know,
Henderson.
he kind of started the whole thing for the Orioles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then Gunnar Henderson came up last year. Now you got Jackson Holliday this year. But I think just the connection to his dad being such
Matt
a good
Holliday.
Player.
Shout out to Buster Olney. Did you read this story that he said that when Jackson was 9 years old that he'd be an all-star?
Yeah,
that's
I saw that.
Insane.
Yeah,
so
that was crazy. That was like 10 years
that's
ago
why
that
he's like
he said that.
One of the greatest baseball writers of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, so Jackson Holliday, son of Cardinals great Matt Holliday, made his MLB debut. He's the number one prospect, according to MLB.com. He's the first Oriole to wear number 7 since Cal Ripken Sr., who was a coach and manager for the Orioles back in the 80s. Interesting thing to get excited for. This weekend, you get the Orioles against the Brewers at home. So Jackson Holliday's home debut for the Orioles at Camden Yards. And the Brewers have the number 2 prospect in all of baseball, who I actually picked to be the National League Rookie of the Year this year. That's Jackson Chourio. So 3-game series between the Brewers and the Orioles, number 1 versus number 2 prospect, both in Major League Baseball at this point. I think that's going to be the series to watch this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a pretty good choice by you. I might agree with that.
Yeah, that's one exciting thing that's going on in Major League Baseball. Always happy to see players get called up like that. Always happy to see the top prospects get called up and watch their career, you know, begin early on. I would have liked to watch the game last night, but of course, MLB's blackout rules prevented me from watching it. Ridiculous.
Woo.
You know, I get.
Thank
I,
you,
so,
mom and dad, for a login to let me work around to get
there
into
you
Masson.
Go. Yeah.
Shout out to them.
You can get Masson. So I pay for MLB TV, but
now,
obviously.
You can get Masson too.
Not on Hulu, which is what I use to watch TV.
Oh.
If I wanted to get
well, I don't use Hulu. I don't have Hulu on my regular TV. I have to use my parents' login. Be clear.
Look, blackouts are just. I mean, we've said this so many times, but they're just ridiculous because I pay for MLB TV. Obviously, Orioles and Nationals games are blacked out on there. I pay for Hulu as, you know, an alternative to
Matt,
cable.
You need to learn an app called Stream East. I just want to pass that message
I
to
could
you.
do that. I could do that. Okay. But when I
since
sit
it's
down,
technically illegal, we do not recommend it.
When I sit down and I want to watch something on the TV,
if it so happens to show up this, sorry to interrupt, but it so happens to show up on my computer this Saturday during UFC 300, I'm sorry.
Oops. Okay. Oops. I could do that. I'm just mad because the game was on MLB Network, but Hulu had to black out MLB Network for me so that I should technically be watching the game on Masson, even though Hulu doesn't offer Masson. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Need to make it easier to watch baseball. Grow the game by letting people watch the game. Should be simple. More good news, I guess, if you're a Mike Trout fan like we are. He is off to an incredible start this season for the Angels.
Shocking.
He's about the only good thing for the Angels this season.
Yeah, they're 500, just to put in perspective.
Which is not terrible.
Half game out of first, if that's... Because the Astros are 4-10. I feel really good about fading them.
Yeah, you should at this point. But Mike Trout, so far this year, he's second in the American League in OPS, second in all of MLB in slugging, tied for first in home runs with 6 home runs. So he's off to a really good start. And I like to see this because, you know, he's had some, obviously, he's been good the past couple of years, but he's had a couple injuries. He hasn't been as good as we hope or expect from him. So to see him come out this year and be playing really well, I really like to see it. I think it'd be great to see him win another MVP before his career is up, you know, get up to, you know, the 500 home run club, set some benchmarks, some accomplishments later in his career. So I really like to see him having a good season. But the thing that sucks for Mike Trout is he's hit 10 consecutive solo home runs. And that's been the story for most of his career. 275 of his 373 career home runs have been solo home runs. That's 63%. He gets no help, no help from his teammates.
Like I said, I'm going to stop putting my energy into the Angels. And I'm just going to say, free Mike Trout. Free Mike Trout.
I agree with you. I agree with you at this point.
He's back to being the best player in baseball. Like, he's back. He's back to being the best. Like, come on. Like, he's so good. He is arguably the greatest American. He's in the greatest player of all time discussion. Like, he is. He's that good.
And he's on a terrible, terrible team. That shows no interest in winning.
So much.
The only other player with at least 373 career home runs and 60% of them being solo home runs is Alfonso Soriano. 249 of his 412 career home runs were solo shots. That's 60.4%, according to Bob Nightingale. Only one other player has had that little help and that much power. It's ridiculous.
Hey, you know who's back?
Who?
Giancarlo Stanton. 4 home runs, hitting
yeah.
256.
He's also off
guys.
To a good start.
Juan Soto, also off to a good start. In 360, 12 RBIs. How about
you know,
this guy?
I'm sure you saw this, but the stat going around this week that Giancarlo Stanton leads the Marlins in home runs since 2017. All of his home runs since then for the Marlins come in 2017. He hit
That's
59
insane.
Home runs in 2017 for the Marlins, and
no
one else has
close.
Hit that many in that time from 2017 to now. No one else has hit 59 home runs. That's insane.
So how about this dude? I think we talked about him a little bit, but he's 6th in batting average, and it's Anthony Volpe, hitting 372, 1.041 batting average. And you know who I haven't mentioned in all of this?
Aaron Judge.
Like, and he's off to not a bad start as I pull it up, hitting he's just hitting 178, which I think he'll get up. You know, Aaron Judge will give you fun.
Look, we're 2 weeks into the season. Nothing
exactly.
matters at this point.
Exactly. The Yankees are 10-3. Do I think they have my expectations for them started to shoot up, maybe so, because they are, I mean, they're 10-3. They're the best record in baseball.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're actually playing a team that has the second best record in baseball this weekend in Cleveland. Cleveland and Pittsburgh are tied for the second best record in baseball. Think about that.
That's crazy. So the Yankees started the season 10-2 for the fourth time since 1920, according to MLB on Fox.
Don't say it.
Previous three times they've won the AL.
Yep. Not doing it.
You're not going to comment on anything?
Nope. I picked the Baltimore Orioles for a reason to come out of the American League. I'm not doing it.
Just saying, things are looking good.
I am not picking this team to be wrong. If the Yankees do go on a run, I'm telling you, a Yankees Braves World Series might end this podcast, but I also think it'd be great for this podcast.
Would it end this podcast because we'd be, you know, butting heads so much? We'd just have a falling out?
I don't know. I just know every episode. We might have to do like a reaction after every episode. And like one of us is just miserable after game one. It's like, it's over. No.
Yeah, it's probably how it would go.
So
that would be.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm not doing it. I'm starting to do it. It's going to be great to have the World Series in Baltimore. All right. That'll do for this episode. You got anything else?
Yeah, a couple quick things. Yesterday was National Siblings Day, and Bo Naylor and Josh Naylor of the Cleveland Guardians, they each hit a home run in the same inning.
I forgot to wish my brother a happy sibling day.
Oh, happy sibling day, Josh.
All right, there you go.
There you go. Pretty cool way to celebrate.
Shout out to your sister.
So yeah, I texted her yesterday.
Proud of you.
So
I live with him, so I see him enough.
Oh, there you go. And Virginia Tech baseball, they got a big series coming up against Georgia Tech on the road in Atlanta this weekend. Tough series last week. They got swept by Wake Forest at home. Wake Forest is pretty good, but Virginia Tech has been having a pretty good year as well, so we'll see if they can bounce back. They did beat Liberty 13-3 on Wednesday night, so three-game series down in Atlanta against Georgia Tech this weekend.
Yeah, definitely will need it because of, Wake was struggling this season. They were the preseason number one. I think they've fallen to 21st before last weekend, and to get swept by them is not ideal. So, yeah, they need to bounce back this weekend against Georgia Tech, which I think they will. So, but Virginia off to a good start, too. So, I think they're one of the best teams in the country right now. So, shout out to them as well. All right, I think that's it, right? We got everything on the dock. All right, cool. So that'll do it for this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. As always, make sure you like and subscribe. Leave us that 5-star review. Follow us at Foul Ball Area, at Matkins News, and Trey Lyle VT. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.